Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. What's up, everybody? We're back with the Don't You Worry podcast. It's your favorite hosts, Briley and Britton, and we are so pumped for today's episode. It is Fighting Words Round 3.
We are so excited. We've done two Fighting Words rounds so far. We had Worry Has an Expiration Date and Your Light Doesn't Need Permission. Both of those were so good. Go check them out if you haven't already. But we have a phrase today that is a guarantee to win. We know that we don't know what season of life anyone listening to this is going to be in. Maybe you are on the highest mountaintop that you've ever been with victories, or maybe you're in a really low spot right now. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle, but wherever you find yourself today, we have a phrase that will not fail. So you want to tell them what Fighting Words Round 3 is?
Yes, it's light doesn't lose.
That is such a powerful phrase because we talked a little bit last week. Your light doesn't need permission. We talked about how our light is Jesus. So both of us have accepted Jesus and we have Christ in our lives and we have that light inside of us. In the Bible, it tells us to let our light shine before others so that we can glorify our Father in heaven. But we wanted to talk about how today that light will not lose. Wherever you take it, whatever you are going through, it won't lose. So we want to jump into that. And what does that phrase mean to you?
I think it reminds me, and it kind of takes me back to a time when we were going through the hardest battle that we had faced. And that was when we lost our grandfather, our Poppy. And I think it's just so important for us to remember, because in the moment, like the night that we found out, in the weeks after, the weeks, the months after, like the year after, it was all so hard and it had felt like we lost because we lost him. And really, that was the first grief that we had gone through that was someone like really close to our family. Because I mean, we had gone through like, you know, some extended family, like losing them, but we were so close with our grandfather and it hit us so hard and it was just unbelievable. And everything with grief just kind of like strikes you at a moment and it's like, what do I do? I don't know where I stand, like what's happening in my life. And it felt like we had lost a major battle and we had been praying and praying for him to heal and like for his physical body to heal so that we could, you know, make more memories, spend more time with him. But that just, I mean, it didn't happen. And in that moment, we were so like let down because we thought he lost, we lost, and the battle, it just, we lost. And there was no way there was hope in that moment. And really, now that I think about it, kind of looking back after, you know, a few years have passed, we didn't lose. He won.
Yeah.
Because he had Jesus and he had his faith and trust in Jesus and he had been saved. He, right once he died, he went to go see Jesus and he was healed. His physical body was, I mean, he was suffering before he died. And he was completely relieved of all of that whenever he went to heaven. And I think that was just so eye-opening and very comforting to know that, like, he actually won the battle. And no matter how, like, hard he was struggling or whatever he was facing, it was all relieved just because he had such hope.
Yeah, if you had told us the phrase light doesn't lose while we were in the middle of our grief, we probably wouldn't have believed you. We would have been like, well, he did lose. Like Jesus, we thought that God lost a battle in that sense because we were like, well, we were praying to him for Poppy to get healed and he didn't. So we thought maybe God didn't really do what we thought he could do, but that was his plan. And Jesus isn't like a genie. We're not just like, grant this wish and do this thing and heal this person exactly how we want it to. Because if it doesn't happen the way we want it to, we think, oh, well, God can't do it then, or it didn't work out the way we wanted it. But looking at what we know now, we know that one, like you said, in the literal sense, he did win because he's in heaven now with Jesus and he's face to face with him. So he won his battle. He's no longer suffering. But also, Jesus won the battle for him. And we even, there's things that have happened since he passed away. Like this podcast, we wouldn't have moved and probably wouldn't have even had the idea to start the podcast if we had not been through that grief, you know?
Yeah.
So I think all the things that are around it that we can't always see, our light isn't going to lose if we are truly following Jesus, because his plan is greater than ours. And something even more specific, I remember neither of us were allowed to go in the hospital room when he was sick, but we realized our parents could go in, and or not like in the direct room with him, but outside of it. And we mentioned on an earlier episode, they got to talk to him through like a baby monitor because it was COVID season, so they didn't let him in face to face, but they could kind of see him through the window, and they were talking to him, passing the monitor around like, hey, we love you, and saying like last word things. But then they also said, also, you know that when this happens, you're not going to be with us anymore. Or like, you know, if this stops, then you're going to die. And all of a sudden they saw through the window, he started pumping his fist. And this kind of fits with our fighting words phrase, but
he knew the series was coming.
He did know the series was coming. Not really. But at any time we did a VBS at his church or any big like kids event, he always hyped the kids up with this song, and he would run around with his fists in the air. And the song was called Rock, Sword, Shield. And he would run around and say, does anybody have a rock? And he would pump everybody up. Like, we would spend the night at our grandparents' house multiple nights that week. He'd be like, oh, I got to do my stretching for tonight. You know what I mean? So that was something that as soon as they saw him and were like, hey, just so you know, like, you're about to never see us again. And he immediately started pumping his fist, showing them like, I'm okay though, because I have my rock. And he knew, because I have my rock, I cannot lose. So even though it may look to you guys like that I'm losing or like Jesus is losing, I just want you to know I have my rock, so I cannot lose this battle.
And it's like he knew that they were going to see him again, because he knew that his kids and their mm-hmm. wives and like his wife, all of them had the hope of Jesus, and that they were going to come to heaven one day and they were going to see him again. And it's like, if you have Jesus and if you've accepted him into your life, then there is such an insane amount of hope that you don't even have to fear dying. You're excited when you're going out, because it's like,
and you can't hide your light.
Yeah. And one example that I feel like I've heard a few people use before, I really love it. So like, picture this. Okay. You're sitting in a room and all of the lights are out. Mm-hmm. There's no windows in the room, so there's no like sunlight coming in. It's pitch black.
Complete darkness.
And somebody shines a flashlight. Mm-hmm. Automatically, anybody's eyes go straight to that light, because that's what attracts you. Because everyone, like, the darkness cannot even shield the light. Like, let's say, you know, you've got a flashlight. The darkness can't just be like, nope, you're done. Like, it can't shield it, because the light is so powerful and it can overcome absolutely any dark situation. And that's the exact same as if Jesus walks in a room, or if I walk in a room because Jesus is inside of me and he's living through me, then people that are living in darkness, when I walk in a room, it should light up their day.
Yeah.
Not because I did anything great, but because Jesus is living through me and I'm choosing to show joyfulness and positivity, and just, I'm exuberant because it's like, I'm so pumped up. Jesus is living through me and his light is shining in the darkness.
Yeah. And this kind of goes a little bit with what we were talking about last week, with how your light doesn't need permission of others. But the verses, I read these verses recently, and it's Acts 5, 38 through 39. And it says, if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And if you have the light that you're talking about, the true light of Jesus inside you, then it shouldn't matter what anyone else is doing in the room. It shouldn't matter the amount of darkness. You're still going to turn to the light. You're going to see the light. So it's so powerful to know that if you have that light, you can overcome anything that's in front of you. And I think too, when we talk about light, we think, okay, that's great that light doesn't lose, but what am I supposed to do with that? Like, it gives us hope, but what are we supposed to do with it? And there's so many things that in our lives, if we just took that next step, we would see mountains moved if we just took that one step that we know we need to do. And I don't know where everyone's at in their Christian walk, in their faith right now, or both of us are in different spots in our faith. But whatever next step that is, whether it's getting together with a group of friends and praying over them, if that's what you felt like, if that's what you feel like you're led to, or if you need to spend more time in God's word, or if you need to take the step to surrender your life to Christ or be baptized, or whatever it is that's in that you know is your next step, like, why aren't you taking it? Because whatever you are scared of, the light will not lose if you have the light inside you. And something that also we don't really understand the effect that our light can have, because like you said, with losing our grandfather, we didn't even know that things like this could be able to happen. Things like this podcast, we didn't know any of that back then. But something that reminded me of it around that time period was I had a friend, Rebecca, who probably a week after our grandfather passed, she sent me a postcard in the mail. Now, like, keep in mind, we were not great friends. You know, we knew each other a little bit well, and we had seen each other before, you know, talked a couple of times. But I think she sent me a message, sent a card in the mail, and was like, "Hey, I know what you're going through right now. I don't understand it completely, but like, I went through this with my grandfather, and I know a lot of people might try to tell you, hey, it'll get better, or hey, it'll get easier." And she was like, "I just want to be realistic with you and say, hey, I know this is really bad, and I know this is a hard situation you're going through, but there's something incredible that could come out of this," you know? She was so encouraging in a time when I needed it, and she didn't even know. Maybe she was scared to send that. We weren't even that close, so she might have thought, "Oh, well, this may be awkward," or, "Oh, I don't know if I really want to send it or not," but she felt led to send me a card. And little did she know, that meant so much to me. And now I have a friend who lost somebody close to them, and it helped me be able to encourage them because I knew what I needed when I was in the same situation. I knew how she treated me and how she worded the things that she said to me. I knew I could then give that to somebody else. And she had no clue that that would happen. She was just obedient to what she knew she needed to do. Mm-hmm. And little did she also know, we would be leading worship together every Wednesday night now. Me and her lead worship together all the time.
That's so crazy. And I think another thing, like you were saying, like something that might seem so small to you mm-hmm. can have a lasting impact on anybody's life. Like if I have a friend who's going through something like a really rough week, like they've got an overwhelming class or they've got some family issues at home or whatever the situation may be, maybe they've been like talking about how, you know, they've been battling a lot, but they're trying not to mention it as much because they don't want to like, you know, put a damp on your life. Well, then maybe all they need is for you to say, "Hey, I'm really proud of you this week because you're doing a great job." Like maybe it's just something like that, that you might not even think anything of it when you say it, but just telling them that like you're getting through this mm-hmm. and you're doing such a good job. Like I am immensely proud of you. Maybe later you never talk about it again, but you don't know what kind of impact that can make on their life.
Yeah.
Even if it's, I mean, absolutely anything. Like let's say you pray with a group of friends, or maybe it won't affect everybody the way that you want it to, mm-hmm. but there's something in everybody's life that they know, like, she's not afraid to pray over me, mm-hmm. or she's not uncomfortable talking to me about hard situations. I can always come to her. And I mean, that's just so encouraging because that's your light shining through you. That's his light shining through you. And that is something that can never be discouraging to other people.
Yeah.
The light doesn't ever lose.
Another thing with one of your friends, because I know both of us have been annoying to people before when we invite them to church. Now, people love an invitation. I've said that before, but sometimes I'll ask somebody like 4 weeks in a row and be like, "Are you coming to church this week?
What about this week? Girls don't play."
We're definitely, we can be annoying about it, but it's because we know that if we keep asking and keep asking, eventually either they'll say yes, or you move on to somebody else and ask them to come and do things that are intentional like that. Because if we stop worrying and we live like our light doesn't lose, then there can be crazy things happen that we would have never expected. We just have to literally live like we have the light inside of us, and that no matter if you live like you're not going to lose, then you're going to do whatever you're called to do.
Exactly. Like one of my friends, a few of my friends actually, like I would invite them to Wednesday nights, and it became a point where when I would text them on a Wednesday, it's like I'm the only one who's texted them. Like I just see a bunch of these blue bubbles. It's like they're probably annoyed with me. But one of my closest friends, I bugged her for so long to come to church. And finally, she showed up. Probably she felt like against her will. But it's okay, because then she was like, I mean, you finally got me here. And now she comes almost every week.
Yeah.
Because she loves it so much. And I poured into her life so much, and I wanted her to make sure that she knew that I wanted her to come. And so she came, and now she feels so welcome here. And now she tries to make other people feel welcome here. And it's even the smallest things, like inviting somebody to church, or if you feel like, oh no, it's too awkward, or I've asked too many times.
Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. What they're like, they invite me to too many things.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of my life.
I think that's another problem. We just don't realize that we have nothing to lose anyway.
Yeah.
But also, even if it was like, oh, well, what if I lost this friendship with this person because they thought I was too annoying? Okay, you're too annoying because you invite them to church so much. Like when you stand before Jesus one day, he's going to be like, well done. You did exactly what I told you to do. You weren't scared of what this person's opinion was, because you lived fully for me.
That's such a good point, because I mean, a lot in the New Testament, it talks about how Jesus is the light, and the light has never lost a battle, because Jesus has never lost a battle. And that is so powerful. Like you said, we're going to be standing before him one day, and he's going to say, well done, because you were brave and you took that chance and you were courageous in this moment. And I'm so proud of you for this. Everybody could take some step of bravery in their life, no matter if it's talking to someone or any of the examples that we've used. Like, there is so much, because why wouldn't you take that chance?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be confident in saying what you want to say or doing what you feel called to do? Because, I mean, if it's something that Jesus has called you to do, he's the light and he's never lost. So take him with you when you do it.
Yeah.
He will give you that extra confidence when you're in the middle of it. Maybe you're shaking the entire time, but once you're out of it, it's like, I feel so much better because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
So be confident today in whatever choice you have to make and in whatever decision that you choose, to be courageous and bold.
Yeah. You never know what your light can do. You never know what that one opportunity, that one thing that you know you need to do, you never know how that could impact somebody else. Today, live like light doesn't lose. We promise this phrase will never fail.
Join us next week for Fighting Words, round 4.